his main work?
Oh, in and out of jobs. No, no. He was in the arsenal during the wartime.
The First World War, or the Second?
The First World War. And he and I think it was Olive's uncle, who was a father's brother, was working with him, and there was three others, I think, all sort of friends, and they were working in the arsenal. And filling shells, I think, with this TNT or whatever it was. And they used to, because they used to call them the canaries, because they were completely yellow and they had no mast at all, this. And that was 1918 when the war ended, and my father died in 1926. But it had taken all those years, not all those years, is it, really? It's not all that. The TNT had eaten the lungs away, and all five of those died within 6 months of each other.
Gosh, that's amazing. Is that right? Really?
My father first, and then it was Olive's uncle died, and then the other three had gone off, all within
all
about 6 months.
Young.
Yeah, 47 my father was.
And over those 8 years, his health deteriorated, presumably?
Well, I suppose it did gradually, you see. You then developed a cough, and I remember the morning when all this happened. I wouldn't sort of actually remember. My mother had said that he just fancied he said, "I just fancy a long walk," he said. And Kidbrook then was just farm, as you say, and he'd gone all the way round. He came back, he said, "I really enjoyed that." And I think he'd been in the house about half an hour when he hemorrhaged. And that was about the November, and they took him to hospital, and he died in the January. But yes, well, she was, I think she was older. She was older than me. This must have been, I can't remember exactly. And she used to work as chambermaid. I know it was in sort of one of these boarding house hotel or something up in Bloomsbury Square or something like that. And apparently was staying there. And of course she was quite the bottle blonde, you know, was she was. And as I was saying, the parents were, I don't know where they came from, but they sort of more or less had a country accent, you know, wherever they, Wiltshire or somewhere they come, you know, so, and very, very sort of strict, she always seemed to me, the mother. But apparently what had happened, so we heard, was that he had come down and asked the mother if he could pay for her to be home, and so that he could sort of... you know, he could take her out sort of when he wanted to and things like that.
But during a working week?
Yeah, all the time. She was home all the time.
But never she didn't went. Work anymore?
No. And he would come down, you see. He never lived there.
No.
But he would come down on the odd occasions and away they would go, you see. Even to the day, as I said, the mother used to go with them, because I can see them now going along in that little cart with mother sitting up the back. Two in the front, and he used to take them out and things like that. You see, well, this went on for quite a time, and he was a dapper little man, older than her, of course. And I can all see him with his, you know, his little black jacket on, and he had a Homburg hat and spats, and that's what affected me—the spats, you know, round his shoes years ago. And they used to come and go and things like that, and she would be dressed up to the nines and fur, you know, and mother would have a fur stole and all these flashy dresses. I mean, she'd have a sale of dresses now and again. Well, I mean, it wouldn't suit anybody living in the road, you see. These were dresses, obviously, that he'd bought for when he'd taken her out to places, you see. And, of course, there wasn't a lot upstairs, you know. I mean, they would never have twigged that... anything was going wrong. I suppose they thought that eventually they were, you know, going to get married or something, and probably it was quite a big step up for the daughter.
Yeah.
But this went on for a while, you know. And then I think it was when Hitler started playing around, probably getting very big there. But it just didn't come anymore. And the brother had gone up because he had this big sort of warehouse farrier place in the East End. The brother had gone up to see what had happened or where, what, you know, because they hadn't heard and he'd not been down or said anything. The place was completely empty and he'd gone.
But they used to. You said something about taking photographs.
Oh, yes, because she'd showed them, you know, she was quite proud of it.
Shall we have support to do?
Yes, Paddy, I think, if that's okay.
Well, we'll just... I shall get there.
Yes, what was I saying?
Well, you were talking about. I mean, I've just
photographs.
Did you take photographs?
Yes. Because, you know. She used to show me the photographs and that. And
what were they photographs of?
Well, they used to seem to have a lovely run down to Portsmouth.
Yes.
This was the day one. But where they used to go weekends, I wouldn't know. I think she and just her and he went weekends. But, I mean, they could have gone anywhere weekends.
I just have
But the Portsmouth things, you see, her mother used to go as well. And they'd be standing there at Portsmouth. Well, of course, there's all the boats at the back of them.
Yes. Do you know, I had a little thought about that afterwards, which might be completely wrong. But, I just wondered if there was another interpretation of the story, which was that he was Jewish, but from Germany, and they all got walled up on the Isle of Man.
No.
You know, all the people, they were called
aliens. He wasn't Jewish.
He wasn't Jewish.
No,
when you described him as the little dapper man with the Homburg,
he wasn't Jewish at all. No, no.
So it really was. Were you convinced that that was the explanation for the story?
Well, everybody was.
Yes.
You know, they were all sort of convinced. Because everybody was a bit suspicious of him, although you wouldn't sort of voice opinions.
No, and yet he actually paid for her not to have to go to work,
yes.
So she'd be available for these
Yes,
trips.
So wherever he went, you see, wherever he went, he would take her.
Yes.
That was the point of her being home.
Very interesting.
Your mother, we've got the story about how she'd get up in the morning, put the porringer on, go off to clean the school.
Porringer on was on all night.
On all night. And then you get your breakfast.
Yes.
She'd come back about, I think, half nine, you said.
About half eight, she would leave the school, about half eight.
And then what was the rest of her day?
Well, she would come home and about half, probably, you know, sort of get home perhaps about nine or whatever like that. And she'd probably have some cup of tea or something and perhaps do a little bit of oddment, what she was doing in the home. And then she would have to go at... clean some of the houses where she would go, you know, but this particular one was in the Close, you know. I don't know if you've walked up there yet.
What Close?
It's called the Close. It's off of Elliot Vale.
I probably know.
They're like Tudor houses. They look very much like the old Tudor house. And she used to go and work in there. That was the one where I used to have to go and do the Sunday afternoon cleaning of all the washing up. I think you've got all
got
that.
Yes, one of the first tapes, yes.
Yes, and that, she used to go there, and she used to work, I suppose, from about half nine or 10 o'clock to half 12 or something like that. She used to get 2 and 6 months for that, for the morning. And then she'd probably come home and do shopping and do a little bit of what she got, and then she had to be back at the school again at 4 o'clock, you see. And then she would come home about 7 o'clock, or depends what classes were on, because some of the classes were very dirty.
And you came for lunch, though, didn't you?
I did.
When you were younger?
I used to take some sandwiches, but when I went to that school in Victor Road, that's when I'd moved from in Victor Road. But we weren't allowed to stay in the classroom. We had to go out into the playground and sit under the bicycle shed.
Winter, whatever,
you see. So that was a bit hard, really. And after that, I used to sort of say, no, I'm sort of coming home.
Mm.
So there was always something there that I could come home, just eat and run back again, you see. So And on one occasion, when she was working as a in Paragon House, is it, what's it called?
Place?
No.
Oh,
it's the big
house. Paragon.
The big house opposite Prince of Wales Pond, that huge big white place. What is it called now? Something house.
Does it begin with the sea?
What is that now?
It's gone. I think someone mentioned it the other day.
I know Mrs. Japp lived there. It was Mrs. Japp and her husband. But they used to be abroad quite a lot. And on this one occasion, I remember Mother was there, you know, and they were away. And there was just, I think it was two housemaids there, and Mother used to go in and cook and things like that for them. And these two children, as I was walking over the heath, they were sort of really sort of, you know, quite nasty kids, you know, and that. And mind you, if I'd have sort of let go, I could have been just as well, but... they said, oh, well, where do you live, you see? So we were just coming by the pond. So I said, over there, that was this huge house that's there, you see. You don't? So I said, yes, I do. It didn't look as though I could live in a tent, probably, at that time. But anyway, well, let me see you go up. You know what kiddies are. Let me see you go up and knock on the door then. Of course I went up this front entrance, didn't I? Rang the bell, knocked on the door, and the maid answered the door, and of course she was all done up in her thing. And she looked at me and she said, what are you doing walking up here? So I said, those girls don't think I live here. Oh, she says. So of course she opened the door and I went. It was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. And sort of, I went in there and downstairs to the kitchen. My mother said, what are you doing? So I explained, and they all laughed, you see. They thought it was great fun. So, of course, I had something to eat there and washed and then walked back to school. But ever after that, I was treated with great reverence with these two girls. They really did think I lived in that house.
What a lovely story. I like that.